Today I'm interviewing Gretchen Maresco, Registrar of Hedrick Hudson Chapter of the DAR, the Daughters of the American Revolution, right here in Hudson. Thank you so much, Gretchen.
Thank you. I'm glad for the opportunity to talk about the DAR.
Okay, I'll let you start.
Okay. I've been a member of the DAR for about 15 years. I joined the Hedrick Hudson chapter because I live in Columbia County. It's not my native county, but I actually grew up in Ulster County. My mom isn't from Ulster County, and my dad is from Mississippi. But I had no idea that I had any Revolutionary War connections until I started doing my family history, found out I had a third cousin who was in the DAR, and decided that I would join too. And I've always been happy that I joined the DAR. It made me appreciate a lot of things about my country that I hadn't been thinking about for a long time. I actually have kind of gone crazy proving some of my ancestors. Most women who joined the DAR have one ancestor, and that's it. But I didn't stop there. So far I've proven 22 of my ancestors to be Revolutionary War patriots in one way or another. So it's been a very interesting ride. I also have helped many other women join the DAR because of my research skills. I've been called upon to help others join and clear up little problems in their history that they needed to solve in order to be able to prove that they were descended from a Revolutionary War ancestor. So it's been a very interesting study. Anything else you're interested? I'm retired from the New York State Education Department, where I worked as an editor for the Regents exams for over 30 years. That was an interesting job, too, and I suppose the attention to detail that I learned being an editor has helped me being a genealogist as well.
Once you joined, you were obviously became very interested in genealogy and also helping people trace their lineage.
Right. That's true. I would say one thing that impressed me the very first time that I went to a DAR meeting was that they recited the Pledge of Allegiance. And I can honestly say that's something I hadn't done for decades. You know, I mean, we used to do it in school, but the DAR is recites it at every meeting, and when you go to their conferences, you recite it just about at every event that happens during the conference. So I was glad to be reminded of patriotism and honoring my country and its flag, and those things are also important in the DAR. But I had studied my family history a little bit before I came to DAR, and like I said, I learned that a cousin had joined the DAR, and I found it was a good place to research my own family history more and also help others to research theirs. I always learn something. That's what I tell people when I do any kind of research, that every person whose lineage I look into, I learn something either about the state where they lived or migration patterns or surnames that I'd never heard of and didn't know the origin of, and it's just been very interesting.
What kind of tools do you use to research?
Almost everything you need these days is on the internet. That's not always true, because sometimes you have to go to a courthouse or a library or it's genealogical society where they have specialized records that you just don't find any other place. I always tell people that if it's on the internet, I'm going to find it. Not always true, but more and more records are there every year. In our own chapter house, we have a very useful research library for genealogy. We have all the Columbia County church records, and we have cemetery records. Two of our members years ago found every cemetery in Columbia County they could and recorded all the gravestone inscriptions and typed them up and indexed them, and that's a very useful tool. I've been to several cemeteries myself in a number of states, taking pictures of gravestones and things, but you never quite know when you're going to find the information you're looking for. You find yourself in a lot of different places looking for things. But it's really been, you know, it's a learning process. I'm well. Let's see. What else can I say? I belong to a lot of programs online. You know, Ancestry.com, FamilySearch.org, something called Genealogy Bank, and several other things. The American Ancestors, which is mainly the New England Society, and the New York Genealogical and Biographical Society. Just all kinds of things, because, like I said, you need to look for information in a lot of places, and you never can be quite sure where you're going to find it. You find yourself reading a lot of wills and old unreadable handwriting and census records and just, you know, vital records, etc. It's just sort of a constant search for just little pieces of information that'll lead you in the right direction. I was going to say, I like researching old newspapers too, because there's always a lot of information in old newspapers to be gathered. I mean, you'll find so-and-so was visiting their cousin so-and-so in the old papers, you know, the social columns, like, you know, who went to visit whom and who's, and then you find out who's, you know, maiden names sometimes. Brothers were, you know, somebody was visiting her brother, and then you say, oh, wait a minute, she's part of that family. So, and maiden names are sometimes kind of hard to figure from records. So it's, you know, like I said, you're just never quite sure where you're going to pick up a bit of information.
Gretchen, there are families in Hudson that are probably go back to the Revolutionary War. I mean, even if they came here after the war, I'm sure some were in the army or in the militias?
Well, we have, I mean, the Palatines, of course, settled Columbia County in the early 1700s, so there are lots and lots of the Palatine ancestors who were active during the Revolution. And then the Dutch who were there, of course, lots of the Dutch. The Dutch were no great friends of the English, because the English just sort of came and took things over in the mid-1600s, after the Dutch had, you know, had an established colony for quite a while. But there were, like I said, you can't make assumptions about people based on, well, this person's Italian. I guess they don't have an ancestor in the Revolution. But I found that that's not true, because a lot of people who you think are Italian may have, you know, one or two ancestors in their lineage that actually do go back to early New England, or, you know, you just don't know. So until you start looking for people, and we do research. I mean, I've done research for many people who didn't have any idea at all if they had a Revolutionary War patriot, and kind of wanted to join DAR, because there's some things, you know, a lot of different things you can do as a member of DAR, and you know, I've started from their grandparents and taken them back and found who was up the family tree. So it's always interesting to me to see where the lineage goes.
Now, the DAR house,
go ahead.
It's historical. The chapter house has history in itself.
DAR chapter house, the Robert Jenkins house, was given to the chapter by a woman who was born in the house. She was the granddaughter, I believe, of Robert Jenkins, and her name is Frances Chester White Hartley. She was quite a wealthy woman. She was living in New York, and when the DAR started, she actually became a charter member of the Hendrick Hudson chapter she joined in her hometown. The DAR ladies in the early days sought to fill a need in Hudson that wasn't being filled, and they started a library. There was no library in the city of Hudson back in the early days, and the chapter was started in a little before 1900. I'm not sure the exact date, but they started a lending library for the children of Hudson, and Mrs. Hartley realized that actually they needed a permanent home for their collection of books, because the members had been keeping things in their homes, and it really wasn't convenient for a lot of people. So she decided that she would take her grandfather's house and turn it into a suitable place for a library and a meeting rooms. So she presented it to the chapter, I believe in 1900. They had a big celebration the day of it, and she was coming up from New York by train, but got waylaid by a snowstorm, and she didn't make the dedication ceremony, unfortunately. But she did donate the chapter house to us, and it's a, it is a very interesting house historically, and we do offer tours to the public. We, of course, during these days of COVID, we haven't been able to have it open as much as we have been accustomed to, but it's been, you know, we do like people to come and view it and, you know, comment on it. We do have a lot of interesting artifacts from the city of Hudson and Columbia County, and like I said, we also have a good genealogy library there for people who are trying to track down their Hudson Valley ancestors. We don't just have Columbia County records. We have Dutchess and some from Green and some from Ulster and, you know, varied other books that are helpful to people studying their genealogy. Plus, we have members who can help them give guidelines. I usually do a lecture once a year, a little workshop for people who are interested in getting started on their family history. But I haven't offered it last year, and I don't think I will this year either, just because of the limitations on the COVID has placed on the society these days.
I asked you, is there a process for a woman to become a member? Or if, let's say, she feels there's somebody that goes back to Revolutionary War, would she call up the chapter?
You would contact me or you know, any DAR chapter near where you live, and you can find usually find someone who will help you find that ancestor and see what DAR does. Is we always build on the applications of older members too. As I said, when I joined, I had a third cousin who was a member. So I just had to provide documentation that showed that I was, that my great-grandfather was all, great-great-grandfather actually was the same as her great-great-grandfather. You know, I had to get my parents' documents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents. And at that point, you know, my lineage intersected with hers. And then they, you know, I didn't have to prove all the way back to the Revolutionary War soldier, who was a Hendrik Osterhout from Ulster County. So, it's always anybody from the public can actually look at the DAR national website and look to see who the patriots are that have been accepted already. A certain amount of the information that's there is available to the public. There's a lot of information on there that's only available to members and to registrars and other researchers such as myself, but there's a lot that's also available to the public. They do keep a lot of records. The DAR has an outstanding library in Washington at their headquarters, which I believe has been closed for over a year now, the DAR is still functioning and accepting new members and, you know, reviewing application papers. So it's a matter of, like I said, filling out an application, providing documentation that proves who your ancestor was, and then filing it with a local chapter. Not everyone is a member of a local chapter, but we think that's the best way to go because you can join a chapter near where you live and participate in the activities that each chapter offers.
Is there a phone number for the people can contact? I mean, maybe somebody on the radio will listen to this and say, I'd like to contact the chapter.
Well, there is a phone number at our chapter house, but there's not usually anyone there.
Oh.
there is a message there. But generally, my phone number used to be listed as the contact number for people seeking to join, and I won't mind if people call me directly and ask if they're interested and ask information about lineage research, et cetera, et cetera. I'm always willing to help people. And I'll give my phone number, which is 518-784-9221. And I'm willing to take questions about DAR and help people who might be interested in joining. I've helped many women, dozens and dozens actually, since I've been a member, and I'm always willing to take on more questions about lineage, etc.
You have had displays, and I've been to the DAR to see the Civil War display. Upstairs, don't you have a room where you may have artifacts? And
well, we have a lot of different things there. We have a lot of kind of antique things that directly relate to the city of Hudson. We have military uniforms. We have quite a good gun collection. The woman who gave us the house, Frances Chester White Hartley, her brother was the owner or CEO, whatever, of Remington Arms. And he amassed an interesting gun collection. Most of it is Civil War era. And we have a gun collection. We have, we have things from the Civil War, from the Hudson unit that that participated in the Civil War. We have a lot of things from that. We have furniture. We have some pottery. We have samplers. We have a lot of different things. And while we're talking about the chapter house, I just want to mention that it's an old building. It dates from the, 1813. I think is on the cornerstone, and it has a slate roof, which unfortunately has developed some leaks lately. And we're now going to be involved in a project in redoing that roof and fixing some other structural problems because of the leaks, which we certainly don't want to, endanger our collections that we have. If there are people who are interested in being in an historic district, we have to replace the slate roof with another slate roof. You can't, we can't put asphalt shingling up there. We have to put a new slate roof up there.
Are you taking, would you be taking donations?
Definitely. I mean, that same phone number, if people are interested, I can give you the Hendrick Hudson chapter at DAR, 113 Warren Street, Hudson, 12534. I mean, it is a significant building. Robert Jenkins was the son of one of the founders, the original proprietors of Hudson, who came as a whaler from Nantucket or Rhode Island. I'm not sure which. I'd have to double check that. I think he was in Nantucket. And I just watched your whaling movie this morning, by the way. So just to get a little update on Hudson history. But I've given many tours of the chapter house, and in so doing, I've learned a lot about Hudson's history because I'm not a Hudson native, and I always myself wondered why Hudson would consider itself a whaling city, and I've learned a lot about DAR history and Hudson history from being a member, of course. It's been very interesting.
I was wondering if I thought at one time I saw a log book in a collection of a whaler's personal logbook.
We do have one logbook that I'm sorry I can't tell you the name of the man who created it, but it's his logbook of one of his maybe more than one of his voyages, and it's kind of interesting because he tells what happened each day and if it was a day that they spotted a whale or were able to catch a whale and process it. He drew a little picture of a whale in the margin on that day. So, that is available. It's in our collection. And we actually had a school teacher who came and looked at it a few years ago and developed a curriculum lessons for, I'm not sure, maybe fifth graders or something like that, that were based on the book. So there is a lot of things that can be studied. We have manuscripts, and I'm not very familiar, to be honest, with the manuscript collection that we have. But we do have some old manuscripts in addition to all the books and things. But that is on display, and you would have to get special permission in order to be able to sit down and handle it and look through it. But that is in our collection. We have things. We had some things from the old General Worth Hotel, which was in Hudson. I mean, things that residents of Hudson who've been there for some time would remember things from a bygone era. We have city directories that go back quite a while, and histories of Columbia County, like I said, in addition to the church records and published genealogies and things like that. So it's an interesting place to browse through. We also have a rather remarkable stained glass window that was donated to the chapter by one of the husbands of one of our early members. And it's a really a beautiful, beautiful window with the DAR insignia in the middle. And it's on the landing going to the upstairs display room. We started an Instagram account, too, that has some information about my daughter actually has training in museum studies, and she's been starting to put things up on some of our accounts. But I'm just looking here for our, if you'll wait a minute, I'll give you our information about our website. Our website is www.hudson-dar.org. So that's our, and there are pictures of some of the interior of the house there. And our Instagram is actually www.instagram.com/Robert Jenkins House. So there are things that can be viewed, you know, either of those on the website or on the Instagram. And, you know, there are query. We also have a Facebook page. And if you send queries, you know, they'll get forwarded to the right person if you look on either of those sites.
What's the name of the Facebook page?
Oops. Let's see. The Facebook is, it's just Hudson DAR. Facebook, you know, if you go on and if you put in what you're searching for, Hudson DAR, then you'll get the Facebook page. And I haven't been on the Facebook page for a while, but that has information about some of our activities and things like that. I mean, we've been kind of strapped for activities. We actually just had a very interesting talk the other day. We had a speaker, it was a woman who talked about the Schuyler women. She's one of the people who works at the historic site, the Schuyler Mansion Historic Site, and she talked to us about the Schuyler daughters, the one of whom married Alexander Hamilton.
Thank you so much, Gretchen, for today.
Thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to talk about DAR and the Hendrick Hudson chapter. I really appreciate it, and I'm happy to contribute whatever I can to people finding out their history and the history of Columbia County and Hudson and the whaling industry and whatever else. It's been very interesting.